Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
It's only been a handful of times that I've actually made this statement before a message. And the statement is, this is probably one of the most important messages I've ever preached in my life. And today's message is one of those. Probably one of the most important ever. And you'll see why in just a few moments. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word, and the message is called, It's Time to Grow Up. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, to Jesus, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. Now, many of y'all have kids and grandkids who are 1 to 2 years of age. And have you ever watched them play with shadows? It's cute. First time they discover their shadow and they start running or jumping. And you go back to your college days and you start making all kinds of shadow puppets on the wall to impress them. And it's so cute. It's so fun to watch the excitement in their eyes to discover shadow. And they don't know what it is, but it's so fun to watch them. Now, what if those same kids, unless they have medical issues and developmental issues. What if those same kids become 20 and 30 years of age and still want to play with shadows? What do you do then? You tell them to get up and go get a job. Amen? It's not cute anymore. You see, most Christians, even though they are 10, 20, 30 years in their faith, they're still playing with spiritual shadows as if they are 1 to 2 years of age, spiritually speaking. And they find it very cute. It's really exciting, and they want everybody else to clap for them. And they can't understand why you don't play with spiritual shadows, why you don't get it. And this morning, the message to them, to us, to all of us is this: move on to substance. And the substance is Christ. Stop playing with shadows. In the message that we're going to look at this morning, we will see how the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees, they were shocked that Jesus was eating and drinking at Levi or Matthew's house with tax collectors and sinners instead of fasting, like they were fasting. And Jesus' reply was earth-shattering. And this morning, we're living in 2016, I believe his reply has just as much significance to Christians today as it was to those Jewish people back then. And you will see that in just a few moments. But let me ask you, questions I ask every week. Are you playing with shadows, spiritually speaking? Are you fascinated with these trivial things instead of Christ? Are you growing up in Christ? Are you growing in biblical and spiritual maturity, or are you content with shadow puppets? Keep asking yourself that question, because there's something deep here. Even if you're not playing with those shadows, and you'll understand what that means in a few moments, are you really focused on Christ? Or is it about the external? And here's another question that I hope every one of you can answer with truth, with integrity. And the question is this: are you growing at all? You see, if you're not born again, you cannot grow spiritually. You have to be born again, and born again is when you receive Christ as your Savior. At that moment, spiritual life comes in and you begin to grow. If you've never had that moment of being born again, you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. You may be a good person, a church-going person, a giving person, a nice person, but you're still a spiritually dead person. So, we're going to look at Jesus' response to the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees and understand what it means to grow up, understand what it means to grow into Christ. And the first thing is, growth means it is time to celebrate. It'll make sense in a few moments. Listen again to those words of Jesus Christ. Verse 19. And Jesus said to them, to those disciples of John and the Pharisees, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Now, before the coming of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament prophets and people were fasting and mourning and waiting for his coming. The atmosphere was very tense. Keep in mind, God had repeatedly disciplined them. In fact, he had taken them out of their land, the promised land, into Babylon. And then only by the grace of God, he brought them back in. So the atmosphere was one of, I hope we don't mess up again. Because this time, I don't know if God will bring us back. So they would fast very scrupulously. They would keep all the rituals and sacrifices and traditions. And in fact, if that wasn't enough, they had added even more to make sure we don't want to mess up. The atmosphere was very tense. And so what Jesus is saying to them is, listen. And he gives the illustration of a wedding. The bridegroom has come. Why are you so tense? Now, I've done many weddings as a pastor. Before the wedding, the atmosphere is very tense. You know, they will have food laid out, finger food. Nobody wants to eat. I don't want to get sick. They have drinks and sweet tea and lemonade. Nobody wants to drink. I don't want to get it on my tie. I don't want to get it on my suit. And then, you know, if the bride and the groom are getting ready somewhere else, always looking out the window, they're not here yet. Where are they at? And then texting. Text, find out, are they here yet? Have y'all left? No, we're not left. Are y'all ready? Where's the comb? Where's the brush? Where is this? And they're constantly, that's going on. Some people are sitting down. Why? Man, I'm just so nervous. Other people are pacing back and forth. I don't want to sit down because I'm going to wrinkle up my clothes. As a pastor, I've seen it all. I used to get tense when I was like, it's entertainment. You watch them. It's like you always have the same kind of people, different faces. And then I'm usually huddled up in the back over there, if it's church or if it's somewhere else. Somewhere I'm huddled up with the best man and the groomsmen. And we talk like this. Okay, guys, when y'all hear the music, I'll let you know. And no matter how many rehearsals you do, it's the same question. Is that the one? And no, it's not the one. That's just the regular music. And then I'm waiting for the grandmothers and the mother's music. Guys, I think this is the one. It's just the one. That's the one. You know? And then it does not fail. Someone is bound to say, I'm ready to get this over with. And usually it's the groom. I'm ready to get this over with. And I'm thinking inside, me and you both, buddy. Then we make our way out. And, hey, make sure you shut the door, but don't slam it. Yeah. And walk out all nice and pretty. We're standing here. Bride comes. Yeah, take her or you take her. All right. It's done. When you get to the reception, guess what? It's not tense anymore. It's over. It's over. Now it's excitement. People are like, where's the food? And there are always those relatives who come with three plates. I'm taking it. No, you're not taking it for anybody. That's for you. And they're piling things on, and you're like, please, I wish we hadn't invited them. Drinks are spilling everywhere, on their ties, on their clothes. It's a sight to see. And nobody whispers anymore. They keep talking loud over you. It is loud. And nobody is saying, shh, keep it down. What is Jesus saying here? He is saying here, the groom has arrived. What do you mean by fasting and mourning and grieving and living in suspense? It is done. Doesn't that remind you of many churches today and many Christians? Go to church, don't get too excited. Keep it down. Check your spiritual zippers. Make sure you're okay. What Jesus was saying to them is here. I'm here. Let the party begin. Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? Who is the groom? Is it Jesus Christ? What they were doing was coming to him and saying, shh, keep it down, Jesus. He's like, why? I'm the one you're waiting for. I have arrived. What do you mean by being solemn? Unfortunately, many church services look more like a funeral service than a wedding celebration. Would you agree with that? And we take pride in that. I'll tell you what, all this jumping and jiving going on in church, I like the old-fashioned way where it's very somber and reverent. It's got nothing to do with somberness and reverence because it has nothing to do with the holiness of God, because under our breath we're saying, I didn't think she was married anymore. What's he doing with her? That's what's going on. Do you call that reverence? No, there's nothing about the holiness of God. Oh, folks, there is a place to fast, and Jesus says it. Listen to verse 20. What does he say? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then in those days they will fast. Not just the cross, but also his ascension. We fast today, don't we? But not in the sense of, I hope God doesn't punish us. I hope he doesn't take away the land from us. I hope the Messiah will still come. No, we fast because there is sin in our hearts. We fast if we need to pray for someone. We fast for our nation. The purpose is different. It is celebratory. It is full of excitement. Why? Because Jesus has already come. I tell our worship team, I tell our ushers, I tell all of them best I can, keep it exciting. That's what Jesus would want. Now, folks, I'm not suggesting that if you are an introvert that you need to be an extrovert. I'm not suggesting that if you have a mild personality that you need to be jumping up on the pews. No, but just through your individual personalities, let the Holy Spirit bring joy. Bring celebration. Be happy. Be excited. Christ is risen today. Can I ask you this morning? Do people see a spirit of celebration in you? Or are you like that toddler who cries every time mommy leaves the room? Most churches and most Christians look like that. And we are no exception. Clearview is not like, oh, we do it right. No, I don't think so. We're okay. Maybe we're getting there, but there is not a sense of celebration. Celebration does not mean chaos. Celebration does not mean people doing crazy things and rolling on the floor and whatever. Celebration is a joy that comes from deep within. That no matter what's happening around me, I know one thing. My God is alive. And he's paid for my sins. And he's coming again. May I ask you again this morning, do people see that joy? Do they see that excitement of Christ in you? Because he has come. The groom has arrived. So growth means to celebrate, but something else. Growth means this. Now, I'm going to go deep this morning. Please stay with me. There is a profound message here that I believe will change the way you think about not just church, but also the Bible. It's time to stop mixing the old with the new. Now, listen to what Jesus does here. In verse 21, he says, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. Now, Jesus is telling these disciples of John and the Pharisees that you can no longer bring the old laws and rituals and sacrificial system and mix them with the new life that he has brought. And he uses the illustration of clothing, garments, to explain that. Now, when I was a little boy, I remember, I don't know if I was riding a bike or something, I tore up my jeans right on the knees. Went to my grandmother, and I asked her, you know, Can you sew a patch on it? Now, nowadays, people put patches. Even there is no tear. It's cool. But you know what she did? She went and bought the patch, but then she soaked it in water for some time. I think nowadays they have pre-shrunk patches and all that. But back then, she bought this patch and soaked it in water for a couple of days. Why do you think she did that? Because once it is washed, that patch will shrink. And if it shrinks, it will pull the cloth in from every direction. Now, back in Jesus' days, the clothing were not as durable, so when it would pull, it would tear. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying this: you cannot take a new cloth, the new life that he has brought, the new that he has brought with him, and stitch it on some already shrunk cloth and expect it to work. You cannot take the life he has brought and stitch it on the old way of life of Judaism and expect it to work. It will not work. It will tear it. There is no happy middle ground. There is no saving the Old Testament rituals and traditions and laws and feasts. It will tear it. You have to retire it. If you love those pair of jeans too much, don't throw them away. Put them in the closet. But you can't wear them anymore. You can't put that patch on it and still wear it because it will pull everything together and it may even tear. It has to be retired. By the way, what I'm talking about today is probably the most critical question in biblical studies, which is what to do with the Old Testament. Why is this important? Because there are Christians who get caught up in a lot of unnecessary distractions that have nothing to do with Christ or Christianity. For example, there are people who try to get into all kinds of Old Testament dietary laws. They'll send me a book. Preacher, this is the good way of eating. I look at it and I throw it away because I love shrimp. I love pork. I love bacon. It's got to go. It don't work for me. Sorry, folks. Then some people will get into all kinds of, you know, various feasts and festivals. And some of those TV preachers, they get up to Jerusalem and they get in front of the wall or somewhere there and they're waving the palm branches. This is the year of something, something, some jubilee. Yay! And some Christians with a little more money in their pockets show up and they, oh, what is that? What year of jubilee? What are you talking about? It's over. The feast is done. What you're doing is you're taking this, this patch that Jesus has brought and you're trying to fix up this old. All it's doing is tearing it away. And it is so odd to see people from all over America showing up trying to be Jewish. It's like, and even the Jewish people go, why? There's something more. There are people who get caught up in looking for all kinds of patterns and symbols and, my favorite one, secret codes in the Bible. The code. Somebody cracks it and then somebody gets on a TV show, some Christian TV show, and I crack the code. And I'm thinking to myself, can you imagine God in heaven saying, Gabriel, hide that even more, buddy. Make it so difficult that in 2016, unless you are, you know, working at NASA, you can't crack that code. That's why from this pulpit, you're not going to hear anything like that. That's called playing with shadows. That's called playing with puzzles that little babies do. And the worst thing that is going on right now, and I hope and I pray to God that y'all aren't getting involved in it because it's real and it's around there and it comes to me sometimes, it is messing with Hebrew roots. Names. Can't say Jesus Christ. It's Yahweh. You got to go back to the roots and you got to go back to this. And that, folks, listen, it's a heresy. Don't get caught up playing with shadows. And it's very real. People begin to change the way they dress, and they start dressing like people did back then. It's a mania. And it's very dangerous because some of these movements actually deny the Trinity. Our faith is founded upon God being Father, Son, Spirit, three and yet one. If you deny that, I don't think you have anything left. What is Jesus saying here? So powerful. He is telling them, You cannot take what I'm bringing and try to patch up this old. You have to retire it, or it will tear it away. Now, please don't misunderstand. The Old Testament is our foundation. I preach often from the Old Testament, as you know. Why? Because in the Old Testament, you learn how God worked with individual people like Abraham and Sarah and Moses and David and Ruth and Esther, how God worked with them. In the Old Testament, you learn about how God promised the coming of His Son, Christ, and how He fulfilled all those promises. In the Old Testament, you learn about how God worked with His people, Israel, the carriers of the Messiah, and how He still has some promises to fulfill for them. That's what you learn from the Old Testament. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. We're standing on this foundation, but we don't dig up the foundation and stare at it. You can't go back to it and start living as if Christ never came. That's over. Move on. What would Paul say to this? Well, I'll tell you what Paul would say to this. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 14. Verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Do you have those kind of Christians? You know what I'm going back to? I'm going back to the pre-sin diet. Before the lamb was shed, I'm going back to vegetables because I'm more holy than you. It's got nothing to do with godliness. But what does the Bible say? They are weak. It doesn't say they are spiritually mature. They're weak. What religion did Paul come from? Judaism. Listen again to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a, what's the word? Shadow. Like a little toddler playing with shadows. You're done with that. The substance is of Christ. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. It can't do anything. Shadow cannot help you. But now listen, Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Jesus with one, I love this, it's like baseball, with one crack of the bat, it's like he brought everybody in. Home run, game's over, celebrate. People are still going out there trying to play the game. It's like, so how do we start again? Jesus is like, I just did a home run. It's over. You won. Let me ask you this morning. Are you trying to mix the old and the new? Are you fascinated with the trivial instead of focusing on Christ? So growth means it's time to celebrate. Let it be seen in you. Don't be like a little toddler who cries when mommy leaves the room. Growth means stop mixing the old and the new. Move on from shadows to substance. But here's number three. Very important. Growth means it's time to change the containers. Listen to something else Jesus tells the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees. He says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Now, I am not any sommelier, any wine expert. But fermentation makes the volume grow, does it not? So you cannot take this new wine that hasn't been fermented and put it into a pouch that has already expanded to its limit and fill it up. Because now that wine is going to expand, and what's going to happen to that container? It's going to burst. It's going to tear. Wine will spill. What is Jesus saying here? You cannot take what I have brought you and still funnel it through the Old Testament laws and rituals and rites and fastings and circumcision, it will burst. Stay with me. In the Old Testament, God did leave the door open, ajar, for the Gentiles to come in. Many came. Queen of Sheba was one. They came through that ajar door. What did Jesus do? He kicked the door wide open. Anybody, whoever you are, you no longer have to walk through all those rites and rituals and circumcisions to get to God. Come as you are. But if you take this new, which is come as you are, and try to force it through this old system, it will burst. You need a new system. What's the new system? The church. Folks, if it wasn't for this verse, I would still be in my sins. You would be still. None of you could have come to God. Paul did not invent Christianity. He continued what Jesus started. What happened when Jesus was on the cross, as he breathed his last, the curtain was torn, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. All of you can come. The old system could not hold it. Now, there's an application here for us, for me, for you, for Clearview. And the application is this: as a church, it is still the gospel wine. It is still the truth. This is not water or juice or diesel. This is still the gospel. But guess what we've done over here? We've changed some things around. We've changed the way we do things. Why? Because the container has to change. Do you know why so many churches are struggling with good people in there? I believe with even Christians in there. Why are they struggling? Because they're trying to take that new wine and force it into the old wineskin, and it's not working. The wine is going on the floor. Something has to change. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we are the right ones. And look at Clearview. We do it the New Testament way. No, I will never. We have our traditions too. And every so often you got to go and say, why do we do what we do? And if it's not working, it's not worth it. Let's get rid of it. We don't just tear down old walls either. Sometimes the traditions are put in place for a reason. Keep it. It's a good thing. So we're not here just to be radical. Let's tear down everything. Let's go to the pure essence. No, forget about that. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Some traditions say, some don't. It's okay. What is our goal? What is the motto at Clearview? It's very simple. Making Christ visible. With traditions, without traditions, at the end of the day, do people know that Jesus Christ is the end all? Let me ask you this morning, what is your faith built upon? Would Jesus approve of you? Will he say, yes, she belongs to me? Yes, he's my disciple. Or would you more like fit with John the Baptist? See, John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the one saying, he is coming. But he was still not there. That's why his disciples came and said, why don't we keep those things? What did Jesus say? Well, you guys are my friends, okay? So, yeah, y'all are okay. No, he said, no, none of you are right. I've come. The old is gone, the new has arrived. Get with it. Thank you so much for joining us for this message. My encouragement to you would be to move from the shadows to the substance, and the substance is Christ. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon, visit my blog at abidonshaw.com.